because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God.
Okay. So, there is no devil in that passage. And the one that Pastor's talking about, 2 Corinthians 4:4, that they don't hear the gospel because the God of this world has blinded their minds. And there is a truth to that. But just like Pharaoh already had a hard heart when Moses got there, God took it and amplified what was already there. They already hate the light. They're born, and that's, every human being is born dead. The qualification for heaven is life. So something has to happen. God has to, and when Jesus said, I'm the resurrection of the life, that I came that you might have life. He came to bring us the entrance. Death is not allowed. I mean, all through the Old Testament law, contact with death is forbidden. You have to go through all this ritual stuff if you have contact with a dead body, even finding a carcass out in the wilderness. So this stark division, I say there's two races on planet Earth, the living and the dead. Every human being is born dead, and only those who have come to Christ are the living. We're the only ones that have a chance of seeing things from heaven's perspective and bringing the answers that he wants in the earth. God made things to work a certain way, and we don't do that. And just, it's amazing, when I talk to people, they get that. God made things a certain way and people aren't doing it. They already know that they're not doing things God's way, and that's why their life is in a mess. I don't want to tell them. They already know that. And the ones that want to come, then we just need to show them how. But there are those who hate, they will not come because they love the darkness, they love their sin. And they know if there's a God, he won't like what I'm doing. That's Romans 1. The other side of that. The evidence is so compelling that it will testify against them in final judgment. The creation itself. And it says that God himself has revealed himself to every person. Somebody want to read that? Just put your eyes on it. Romans 1.
So while we're flipping there, do you think there's a conscious hatred on their part, or almost like an involuntary action? You know what I'm saying?
It's both. Dr. Greg Bonson did his PhD thesis on self-deception. And he used the analogy of a real-life case story as sort of the cornerstone of a woman who had a rotten child, but she refused to accept that her child was rotten. It's all the other kids who are out to get little Johnny. It's the principal doesn't like him, and he's been expelled, so she moves, puts him in a new school, moves to a new neighborhood, going to the extreme lengths to protect her vision that she is not a bad mother. Because if Johnny is rotten, what does that say about me? And she tells all the neighbors what an angel he is, what a kid he is, and all the neighbors know exactly the opposite. Because they see the truth of it. But she won't. Does she know Johnny is a rotten kid? Yes, she does. Will she ever admit it? Probably not. Because even when he goes up and goes to prison, it's not his fault. It's somebody else's fault. Because he's an angel. Everybody's out. Nobody's liked him since he was a little kid. Everybody's been out to get him. She won't admit it to herself. And in the case of atheism, which is sort of the extreme end of this, is that They don't believe that they believe in God. Somebody got Romans 1? These are about starting points.
Well, I don't believe in God.
But what does Scripture say?
For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, righteousness will live by faith. The wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since that we may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so the people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened.
It's pretty clear. God has revealed himself to every man. And y'all are the ultimate proof. Humanity is the ultimate proof of the existence of God. And as we go through this, I'll show you more and more about that. So,
well, and this is really important when you're talking to the people that say, what about the pygmies in wherever? They haven't heard about God. I mean, basically, everyone has heard about God.
And what does John 3 say? They are already condemned. A lot of people think, oh, I messed up one day and God's going to send me to hell. It's that you were born. You were conceived on your way to hell. And salvation is a rescue plan. Not that you...
Right.
It's been flipped over to God's waiting with that big stick. As soon as you mess up, you're in trouble. That's not it's exactly the opposite of that. He's trying to get you out of the trouble you're already in. And when we present the gospel, that's why it's called good news. It's not, oh, you're going to hell unless you repent. They already know. From the Romans, the wrath of God has been revealed. They know it, and that's a huge reason why people want to deny God, because they already know they're not happy with him, that he is not happy with what they're doing. The wrath of, they're proving their condemnation, which is a totally different view than you did something and became condemned. No, you already are. And the pygmies in Africa already know. That's why you go, no matter where you go on this planet, there's religion of some form. Every human being is religious by nature.
Well, and also time. I mean, it also, because you have the people, what about the Old Testament? Jesus hadn't come. Again, yes. Since the creation of the world, not since Jesus came, or not since a specific time.
And it's a big difference between the old and the new. The old is about servants. The new is about family. Children of God. The Old Testament people were not children of God. They were servants of God. But when we are born again, literally born from above, look through John 1, 2, and 3 in there, it's a whole different, so radically, revolutionarily different that we're still struggling with what it means. But it's about family. Jesus is our older brother. Our Father God is. It's so amazing. And this eternal love triangle between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we've been invited into. He didn't make us because he needed to be worshipped or needed anything. They already had mutual edification and all of that stuff and glorification. Each one lived to glorify the other. And we get invited into that. And it just changes everything. It becomes a gospel of love and forgiveness and blessing. I'm trying to get blessing into your life, but you keep fighting me. And so you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And he does that all over the world. So we have the Age of Faith, some of the brilliant thinkers from church history, and over time things evolved, corruption set in, theology develops and matures in dealing with some of these from heresies to opinions to like how do we clarify things. Apologetics grows the same way, and it matures over time into an industry, as a lot of movements do, mm-hmm. with a given enough time. And it's not that it's wrong, and I think Christians ought to know. I was at Eugene Bible College in Eugene, Oregon for 6 years, and every year at our staff conferences, the discussion about what does it mean to be an educated Christian. And it always changed. Which changed the mission statement, which changed, there's really no solid, there's no conclusion, really. That was kind of sad. But to be able to face the world with some level of competence, and it's been known for 150 years that the average preacher doesn't know anything about science or philosophy, or, and so we just bulldoze them. And we can go after their people. And we'll get teachers in there to go after their kids. And little by little, we arrive in a state of raving madness. And we're the only ones that have the answer. Jesus is the answer, but he's put us here to be that solution.
You need to be able to give a reason for the hope that is within you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we have to be able to do that in government. We have to be able to do that in finance. We have to be able to do that in education. We have to be able to do that in the military. We have to be able to do that in every sphere of life, which we claim the Bible has something to say about every aspect of life. So where is it? There's no disagreement that it applies to my life, every aspect of my life. But what about culturally? I mean, Argentina's been in revival for 40 years and the country is in miserable shape. And that's because, how does Jesus get into government? In a Christian. Occasionally leaders get saved, but they're, you know, like Donald Trump, I think he got saved in this process. But he's a baby Christian at best, and so he's still is acting like one. He doesn't know the subtleties yet. Maybe in a few years he will. But for now, and people around him have said, yeah, they genuinely believe he's born again. But he's a baby at best, and he needs taught. So, anyway, defeaters. For example, if somebody believes in millions of years, you start talking to somebody, you're trying to witness to them, and you bring up Genesis, you're a creationist, a biblical creationist. Somebody who comes to the table already convinced that the earth is billions of years old. I have not yet anybody who's never heard the phrase millions of years. It's ingrained, it's culturally saturated, the environment. And so, is there, what do you mean millions? They don't ever ask that. They think, well, this million, of course, dinosaurs lived 65 million years ago, on and on. The universe itself is like 13.7 billion years old, and it kind of billions. Like you should be very impressed. And every show, even if nothing to do with time, they'll throw in millions of years just mm-hmm. somehow. Mm-hmm. So if somebody comes with that already stuck in their craw, and you're talking to them about the Bible and Bible history and the accuracy of the Bible. No, wait a minute. doesn't your Bible say God made the world in 6 days? So how can you be so uneducated? And most of the time, we just kind of sink back and move into a defensive mode and say, yeah, absolutely. We keep that high ground because it's the truth of things. But when somebody comes into it, if I believe A, then that makes believing B impossible. If I believe in millions of years, it is impossible to believe in a thousands of years creation. It's impossible. And so somewhere those have to get flipped over, and we deal with them, and some of those take time. That's why a mindset change, and this we'll be talking about, that if it's true that the earth, we can just generically say less than, and the cosmos itself is less than 10,000 years old, there ought to be some evidence. And that is one branch of apologetics, evidence. Getting the history and science and dinosaur and human footprints together, and you know the times are wrong. There's about 200 ways to measure time on Earth. Only about 10% of them give long ages. Almost all of them are thousands, tens of thousands, a few million, but makes evolution impossible. Which is, if you're an atheist, evolution is your only option. Unless you got aliens, and then that just pushes the problem off. Okay, well, where did the aliens come from? That's a question you ask. Well, aliens did it, okay? Where did they come from? It just shifts the problem off the earth. One of the co-founders of DNA, Francis Crick, actually believes that, because it turns out in World War II, and then on later, he was a code cracker. That's part of why he was the first one to say that DNA is a code. But he also knew, after some examination, they started looking at why, according to Darwin, is that there's mutations that happen, and then something new kind of grows out of that. So they started looking at mutation rates. How fast? You know, good scientific question, how fast does DNA mutate? And they found out up into the 40s, there were 6 proofs that the universe was only 2 billion years old. And he said, according to our measurable scientific observation, testing, and repeatability, our experiments show that 2 billion years isn't long enough. So then they